listening to the Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
The weather is much nicer today, isn't it?
It is. After the snowpocalypse, I'm fully embracing 70-degree weather.
Yeah, it almost feels like spring, but we know in Arkansas, this is what we call our false spring, because it's going to get cold again before it gets blistering hot. Mm-hmm. It's just going to happen.
So enjoy it while it lasts, folks.
Right, but it is a great time to get out and do some exploring while we have the spring-like weather, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So today's guest is Ashley Weymouth, more affectionately known during our interview as Ranger Ashley. And Ranger Ashley is a ranger at Hot Springs National Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So she came on the show to talk to us about Hot Springs National Park's centennial. They are turning 100 years old, celebrating their 100-year anniversary.
It's very exciting. History in the making.
A national park. That is super duper cool to me. So Ashley got to share some really cool stories with us. And she was a terrific guest. But it made me, even though I've been to Hot Springs so many times, it makes me just want to immediately go back over there.
Go back, relive it, enjoy it. I think a lot of times people have things in their own backyard and they don't take advantage of the events or opportunities that are around. And so it's just a short drive. And if the only thing keeping you from that drive is your bald tires, your tire with a goose egg, you've got to get down to Don's Easy Pay. They will let you get some tires, pay it out so that you can get back on the road to explore all that the Ouachitas has to offer, including the centennial events that are going on in Hot Springs this year.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Don's Easy Pay is the best place to buy tires, and we want you to get on the road and explore Arkansas. So let's meet our guest, Ranger Ashley. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I am your host, Ashley Smith, along with my co-host, Jerry.
Hi there.
And today we have Ranger Ashley. And I was going to say we have Ranger Ashley in the studio, but that's a Zoom call for us. So if there's a little bit of lag, listeners, just be aware. So welcome to the Ouachita Chronicles, Ranger Ashley.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are excited to have you. So are you an Arkansas native or are you from somewhere else in the country?
You know, sadly, I am from somewhere else in the country, but I got to Arkansas as fast as I could, as they say. Yeah, I'm originally from Texas. I was born in southern Texas, and I've had the pleasure of living there for most of my life. And I also lived in Oregon for a bit of time, and now here I am in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
You weren't too far away. I mean, you were a neighbor for sure. So
Yeah. All right, so
what brought you to work with Hot Springs National Park?
Well, I guess maybe like most jobs, you just kind of apply. It sounds a little unromantic that way. But when I saw that Hot Springs National Park would be celebrating their 100th anniversary this year in 2021, they were looking for somebody to be an event coordinator and help plan and execute all of the events to celebrate that. I thought, well, you know, a 100th anniversary only comes once every 100 years. So this is probably a once in a lifetime opportunity and I should jump on that. So I was fortunate enough that of all the applicants, they selected me. And so here I am.
Well, you must have something special because Hot Springs is a very special place and they try to recruit special people. I know that for sure. So something you just said kind of triggered in my mind here. You know, that's what we want to talk to you about is the centennial anniversary of Hot Springs National Park. But doing a little tiny bit of research online, and I think this will kick us off with the story, is Hot Springs Park, although it wasn't designated a park till 1921, correct? Was actually like reserved and set aside long before Yellowstone, correct?
Yeah, I mean, Hot Springs National Park basically paved the way for the National Park Service. As you mentioned, you know, we were designated an official national park in 1921, but the land and that whole area in Hot Springs was originally set aside as Hot Springs Reservation by Congress in 1832.
Wow. You
know, so that's, yeah, I mean, it's so long ago. You know, when we think about, when I think about history and when I try to think about the context of things and I'm imagining, you know, like, okay, what was happening in 1832? Not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so like, it's so unique that Congress had the forethought. You know, originally they sent an expedition after the Louisiana Purchase in 1804, they sent an expedition to this part of Arkansas because they had heard from trappers and fur traders that there were these thermal springs or these hot springs. And so President Jefferson, he sent Hunter and Dunbar expedition out to kind of check it out and report, you know, with what they found. So those two guys came out here and sure enough, they came across the hot springs and, you know, they tested the water, they took water samples, they took the temperature, they kind of documented all of the species that they found and they brought that report back. And so that was when the eastern part of our nation learned about that hot springs existed so close to, you know, sort of these major civilizations. And from there, they just increased in popularity, first among traders and trappers. You know, when Hunter and Dunbar arrived, they said they found like an empty hut where people had obviously been staying for a bit. And so it wasn't until the 1830s that Congress was like, you know what, hot springs in the South, this is kind of a big deal. We need to set this land aside to make sure that it's always accessible by the public and that it can never be monopolized or owned or privately owned by just a single individual. You know, so I'm thinking like, man, 1832, they knew that this place was going to be something magnificent. And, you know, from there, because, I mean, I think we have kind of a fascinating story, but because no such thing as the National Park Service existed, and because Congress had never really owned or protected a piece of land before, they didn't have a lot of guidance or forethought about what was actually needed. And so it wasn't until after like Yellowstone was created and after Hot Springs kind of had their own issues of like people trying to claim land, but it was federal land, but they had been here for so long. You know, so after they figured all of that out and the dust settled, they were like, all right, let's give Hot Springs a superintendent. Let's give them a police force. Let's come up with a program. And so sort of by learning from all of the mistakes and by all of like what happened in Hot Springs, they were able to ultimately create the National Park Service with all of the lessons learned and then, you know, move forward from there. So the National Park Service was created in 1916. And, you know, a lot of people didn't really think that there was a need to change our name from Hot Springs Reservation to Hot Springs National Park. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, the land is already protected. What's the big deal? And eventually, one of the directors of the National Park Service, Stephen Mather, he felt it was really important that Hot Springs become a national park. So he petitioned for Congress to change our name. And they did on March 4th, 1921.
Huh. That's a really cool like way that that came about for sure. When you said that they'd sent an expedition out, you know, obviously taking water samples and everything, it makes me wonder if anybody had the idea, maybe they were searching for the Fountain of Youth or anything similar like that with those thermal waters. Did you ever read anything or hear anything about that?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of history here. You know, there's talk of a lot of Spanish explorers coming through Arkansas in search of the Fountain of Youth. Hunter Dunbar, they, you know, they didn't really explicitly use the language Fountain of Youth. But we know that prior to them, there were expeditions looking for such a thing. And I mean, arguably, you know, after people started building bathhouses and people started giving cures for drinking the water and soaking in the springs, I mean, it seems like we could be our own Fountain of Youth.
So when did the population start to grow? Was that before it was designated a national park? Were the bathhouses already in place at that time?
They were, yeah. I mean, starting really in the late 1800s is when a lot of the first bathhouses were built, you know, like 1880s. Really, you know, some as early as like the 1860s and 70s. A lot of the first original structures were made out of wood. Mm-hmm. And sadly, there were a few major fires in Hot Springs that burned them all to the ground. And so eventually, you know, the superintendent put in this mandate that if you were going to operate a bathhouse, it had to be out of fire-safe materials.
Okay.
So the oldest bathhouse that exists today was built in 1892. That's the Hotel Hale or the Hale Bathhouse. And then from there, you know, they kind of go through 1926. But a lot of them were built in like 1915, 1916, that area, you know, that like turn of the century kind of area.
So at that point, it was becoming a health and wellness and tourism destination all the way back before it was designated a national park. So have you got any really cool stories from that time period that you'd like to share with us about what was going on there with the bathhouses and just, you know, kind of tourism in general?
Gosh, I mean, man. There are so many stories, you know, about that time period. And I feel like as time, I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that's like extra juicy. Uh-huh. Other than, so one of the bathhouses is called the Fordyce Bathhouse. And right. That was named after Samuel Fordyce. And this man, Samuel Fordyce, apparently he had major health issues. Like, I think he was even having difficulty walking. The doctors told him he'd never walk again. And then he had heard about hot springs and how, you know, the waters offered this like curative opportunity for people that had you know, these ailments that doctors had said could never be cured. And so he came to Hot Springs and he took the baths here and he drank the water. And eventually, I think a few months of treatment, he was able to walk again. Everything the doctor said that would never be cured were cured. And he was so moved and he was so transformed by his experience in Hot Springs that he decided he wanted to build his own bathhouse. Mm-hmm. And so he did. There's lots of these really amazing stories like that where people were not given death sentences, but were basically told you could never be healed, came here and they found healing. And so, you know, the number one question I get, especially, you know, thinking about it in that context of that time frame, is like, well, is the water really curative, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there some kind of like miracle component of the water there? And I mean, as much as I wish I could, yes, I mean, the truth of the matter is that these bathhouses provided something that most Americans didn't have access to at the time, which is clean water.
Right.
Right. Yeah, this is like, I mean, I think we often forget that there was a time period before modern medicine, before penicillin existed. You know, we're so lucky to live in this age now where it's like, oh, I have an infection, take an antibiotic, or, oh, this is a problem, let me go to the doctor. And, you know, modern medicine will give us something that we need to make us feel better. But back then, you know, there weren't bathrooms in people's homes. We didn't have clean running water. There weren't any water treatment facilities. So just to come to a place where you could take a bath in warm water, which feels really good, and then mineral rich, clean water, maybe for like the first time in your life. I mean, of course, you know, that's going to have a huge transformative effect.
Well, so. I think that's very interesting. You point that out. You know, there was definitely periods in our history where people drank beer as opposed to water because it was safer to drink the beer. The water was not clean. But then you've also got to think about the placebo effect, which isn't necessarily exactly what you're saying here, because it is true. Clean water, warm water, mineral rich water does make you feel better. That's not a placebo, but also people believing that this would cure them. I mean, it's mindset right there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, there's a lot of, you know, that comes into play when you think about a place like Hot Springs and its popularity, you know, at the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward into the 1920s, when it was designated and you've started to get like the jazz era and all of that, what point, or maybe who was the first most famous visitor to Hot Springs that really started to see it increase in popularity across the country as far as, you know, that aspect of people coming here?
Gosh, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know that we can attribute it to any one single person necessarily. But because it was such a popular destination and by word of mouth, it grew in popularity. You know, we did have like Duke Ellington visit and Count Basie visit, you know, some of these big jazz legends, especially with the national park. If you've never been there, it's right in the middle of town. Mm-hmm. In fact, most people, when they're in the national park, don't even realize it because it's like on one side of the street, you have these huge bathhouses that are really ornate, architecturally very unique. And then right across the street is like downtown, right? There's like stores and restaurants. And so that's the way it's always been. You know, on one side of the street, you have this place of healing and wellness. And on the other side, it was like, well, let's go have fun. And so because of that juxtaposition, you know, it allowed for people to come here and not just feel like, oh, this is a quiet place, we must stay really zen. It was like, no, we can do everything here. So having these clubs where these musicians could play was definitely a huge boon. There was a lot of baseball teams that started coming here in the 30s. And actually, they say that Hot Springs is where spring training actually began, you know, because baseball teams would come and they would practice and they would train really hard, but then they would soak in the springs, get their muscles relaxed. You know, they'd work on building the conditioning of their bodies. And then just with having celebrities start to come here, and I don't know, you know, as the more accessible it became and the more people talked about it, the more people came. And for a long time, Hot Springs was actually the number one most visited national park in the nation.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Right here in Arkansas.
Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch? Mm-hmm. Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are, and they offer all the brands you're going to find online. Like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So like the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Dawn's?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Dawn's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen, they've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Dawn's and get it. You can also go to Dawn's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Dawn's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
Not to worry, because Dawn's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Dawn's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Dawn's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, DeQueen, Broken Bow, Idabel, Poto, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Dawn's home store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So can I find them online too?
Yeah. So you just get on Facebook and search Dawn's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Idabel or Boonville. And you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Dawn's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car. Shopping trip.
Do you know what year Oaklawn opened? I'm trying. We can totally fast fact it at the end here later, but just kind of curious as to how that coincided.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Oaklawn, right? You could do horse racing. You could have gambling. You could bet, you know, I don't know. There was a lot, but I think Oaklawn is celebrating their 117th season. So if we just subtract 117 right. years. From
right. So that definitely helped with the popularity. Like you're saying, I mean, they've got the restorative cure and the rest and relaxation on one side of the street. And then on the other side of the street, they can have a great time at night. But then you bring in the gambling, horse racing aspect, and it just makes Hot Springs a terrific place to visit, even in the early 1900s.
One of the things that I found the most fascinating is the connection to the Army and the Navy that Hot Springs has. So one of the most prominent buildings on Bathhouse Row, it's not really on the row, but when you're looking at the row, you see there's this tall, huge structure, and that's the old Army Navy Hospital. So starting even at the Civil War, you know, wounded soldiers would come to the old Army Navy hospitals to seek treatment and get cures and to feel better after having been in this like egregious war. And that tradition continued, you know, after World War I and especially after World War II, Hot Springs was designated as one of these, after you've been deployed overseas and you're coming back, Hot Springs was one of five facilities where soldiers were sent for 2 weeks to go to the doctor, get the medical cures they needed, and soak in the springs. So if you were a soldier in World War II, you know, you had a 20% chance of landing in Hot Springs before getting back to your family and re-entering the real world. And I've heard stories from people saying that, you know, they remember seeing folks in like prisoners of war jackets, you know, that were like, you know, mowing the lawn. Or, you know, people remember like walking down Bathhouse Row and hearing like the Army Navy bands playing, you know, up on the balustrade in the bandstand. Or they just remember seeing lots of soldiers walking around town. And, you know, today we don't really see that because the Army Navy Hospital isn't currently in operation. But just thinking that even, you know, our forces really relied on Hot Springs Springs and like in a period of their history to bring relief to their soldiers, I think is really amazing.
Yeah. And I've always seen that building and I knew that that was what it was previously used as, but my mind didn't go there to think about the connection of those people being, you know, like you said, people remembering seeing people in uniform and hearing those bands. That's a whole new level and depth that I've spent a lot of time in Hot Springs. So, you know, I'm very aware of all the places you're talking about, but it's bringing to mind, like I'm getting whole new pictures in my head. I love it.
Yeah, it's super neat. And I mean, I guess you can't really talk about Hot Springs without also sort of talking about like the decline in bathing. You know, so as our society modernized and as modern medicine became more accessible, you know, people really stopped relying on the practices of hydropathy and the practices of bathing as much. So, you know, eventually a lot of the bathhouses did close and it left the park in kind of this unique position because on the one hand, you know, we were the first American spa, you know, right. We were the place where people came for, you know, hundreds of years to find a bit of respite. And so to watch our bathhouses fall, like these historic buildings that were built at the turn of the century with such intention and with such like grandioseness, to watch them fall into disrepair, it really forced the National Park Service and Hot Springs National Park to think about what could be done to revitalize them. You know, because people, I mean, they wanted to see them, but they didn't want to see like decrepit buildings, right? Like who does?
Right.
And so the National Park Service came up with this federal leasing program where it opened up these federal buildings to being rented or leased by independent normal people or, you know, business people, and they could turn them into whatever they wanted as long as it fit within like certain conditions. And so because of that, you know, now we have like a hotel in one of these old bathhouses. We have a restaurant and brewery in one of these old bathhouses. You know, two of them you can still soak in the springs. One's an art museum and cultural center. So it's really brought life back into these that we see today. And it allows for more like modern needs. Right? Like the modern American doesn't need 8 bathhouses to pick from, right? Like we're kind of beyond that. So having like the option to like, oh, I think I'll go to a restaurant in a historic bathhouse or I'm going to stay the night. You know, it diversifies what people can do now when they come to visit and we can still keep these old stories alive at the same time.
Okay. So the 2 bathhouses that are still actually in operation, are either of those in continuous operation? I feel like one of them is, correct? That it's basically never shut down.
Yes, that's correct. The Buckstaff Bathhouse, they originally opened in 1912, and they're the only bathhouse to never stop offering bathing services.
Right. And I've been there. I have bathed in those waters, those different pools. One of those is very, very hot, like very hot. What's the max temp? I think like in the 140s, is that correct?
Well, yeah, the water comes out of the ground 143 degrees. So the bathhouses have to cool them to, I mean, I think like 106 is the highest.
Right.
It might even be 105. And even,
that's,
I mean, yeah. You know, 105 is still like really steamy. It's kind of
right.
Like,
I felt like I was, you know, like me soup, like stew for sure. What's the other bathhouse that's still offering those services?
The other bathhouse is called the Quapaw Bathhouse.
And you mentioned, and I've been in several of these, so I've got firsthand experience. What is it? So you've got Hotel Hale, which just actually, in the past year or two years, reopened as a hotel and restaurant, and it's beautiful inside. Absolutely love it. It's got great natural light and an atrium. But Superior is the only, but correct me if I'm wrong, but the only brewery located inside a national park in the U.S., correct?
That is correct. Yeah. And they brew their beer and root beer with the thermal spring water.
Right. And that makes it extra special. So we said that beer was healthier than water. And they've just continued that tradition right there.
Yeah.
Might be a tradition I can get behind.
Yeah. We might need to road trip and test those. I've had we'll say I'm taste testing again.
And they have new beers now. So, you know, you need to try the new selections, make sure they're still up to snuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that all those lines. But the job that they have done, you know, either restoring those buildings or just keeping them so true to form. I mean, they're gorgeous. I have literally gotten down on my hands and knees and taken pictures of the tile floor at Buckstaff because it just was so pretty. Everything about it, it just transports you back to another time. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, I think both the tile work and like the exterior details on the buildings are the two comments that we get the most about, you know, because you have to think like, this is when everything was hand laid, hand carved, hand done, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have these like preset tile designs that we could just throw in like in a 20 by 20 square, right? Like every single tile was individually placed. And so, yeah, to just to think about how long it must have taken or how many people it must have taken, or, you know, I don't know, just the forethought and the like the immense intention that goes into something as intricate and detailed as that is quite incredible.
It really is. Well, we could not do an interview about Hot Springs National Park without asking a question about mob involvement. We've just got to know, is there anything that you can share with us in regards to that? Because we know that there's a bar named after Capone, correct?
Yeah, well, there's the Ohio Club that a statue of Al Capone sits outside of. Yeah, I mean, well, of course, if you've read, there's a new book out by David Hill called The Vapors, that Hot Springs was definitely a mecca for gambling and for, you know, a bit of ruthlessness, as we might imagine. In the national park, you know, we don't have a lot of stories about that because I feel like these, I mean, if you were a gangster, would you really want to be walking around on federal property?
Exactly. That's what is interesting to me about it, that, you know, they would choose such a place to visit for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure like maybe if they thought they could be a bit incognito, they'd walk up and down the row a bit, but I just feel like you're asking for trouble. And so I personally don't know any particular stories of like, you know, gangsters in bathhouses necessarily, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. But yeah, there's definitely lots of stories of like Al Capone and Lucky Luciano just making Bathhouse Row their second home, or like not the row itself, but making Hot Springs their second home.
I'm imagining like them being like ushered privately between like the baths and the locker rooms with like, you know, a towel over their head so they're not recognized because they really wanted to get that healing treatment, but they didn't want anybody to see them. Like they got like concierge.
That would be so funny to imagine. I mean, I could see it. It doesn't seem impossible.
All right. Well, another thing that I couldn't do an interview like this and not ask about is Hot Springs has a pretty interesting history story of hauntings. Have you experienced any of those in the national park yourself? Yeah. Or do you have stories of them?
Oh, we have stories for days for sure. I mean, it makes sense, right? When you live in a place that has been inhabited by humans for hundreds and hundreds of years, like even, you know, the Native Americans that used to come here to quarry the Novaculite, you know, when we think about their presence, and then these buildings that have been around for over 100 years, it's kind of like, well, sure. Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of stories in the different bathhouses, especially we hear it most especially from our maintenance workers, you know, because they get to be in these buildings after hours. They're here in like their early, early hours of the morning. Sometimes they stay in the basements of these buildings fixing our water lines through all hours of the night. And so they all have like, you know, funny stories like, oh man, I was standing there and I swear I saw shadows out the corner of my eye.
Uh-huh.
Or like, oh yeah, there's this one thermostat. Sometimes it goes through batteries like 5 minutes a day. And other times the batteries can sit there for hours. You know, so they just have these like funny tales, or even like, oh, I was in the building alone and I thought I heard women talking downstairs. And when I said hello, it just got really quiet. So, you know, there's a bunch of like funny stories like that. But of course, nothing that's like, oh, definitively we have photographic evidence. Right. Nothing like that, but our imaginations do tend to run wild when we're in those buildings alone.
Is there a building that has more stories or more reports or accounts from it than others, like a hot spot?
You know, I'm not sure. The one building that's open to the public is, it's not right now, but normally it is the Fordyce Bathhouse. So it's like a preserved museum, so you can like tour what an old bathhouse used to look like. And I would say just because more people get to go into that building, it seems like there are more stories in that building. You know, there's accounts of visitors saying that they saw like a woman in a blue Victorian dress walk by, you know, or like, I don't know. I feel like there are more stories from visitors just because more people get to be. But if that's true, I cannot say for sure. I mean, if I had to bet, if I were a betting woman and I had to guess which building was the most haunted, I would say it's the Army Navy Hospital.
That's what I was going to say. Sitting here thinking the whole time, like that would have to be the one that would have the most spirits, it, you know, in my opinion, not that I'm an expert on those type of happenings.
Yeah, me, I mean, that's far from my expertise. But if I had to guess, just looking at that building, I'm like, oh yeah, that has to be haunted.
You know, and people, especially when they visit a location like that, that's got such a history, you know, a lot of those people are coming there wanting to see something. Mm-hmm. They're wanting have an experience, and your brain can definitely create those experiences if you desire that enough.
Absolutely.
I have, I've never had any personal experiences in hot springs. I've had some in Eureka Springs, but that's a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. So I will not be going back to stay at the Crescent Hotel. We will leave it at that. But as far as modern day travelers, I mean, hot springs has weathered this pandemic very, very well in regards to tourism. I mean, they've just continued to see the same amount, if not more, visitors. It's been a banner year for so many tourism businesses, despite, you know, those restrictions being put in place. Oaklawn with their expansion, you know, this year. I mean, there's just so many amazing things happening there and going on. So what are some of the current events that, you know, you were brought on to organize for the centennial? What are some of the amazing things that are going to happen in 2021 that people can take part in to celebrate that huge anniversary?
Gosh, well, you know, when I was first brought on, the vision was we want a year-long block party.
And then COVID.
COVID hit. So we've had to make some adjustments. But even despite everything, right now we have at least one major event planned every month in the park. And that doesn't even include, you know, events that we're partnering with some of the city organizations with to happen citywide as official centennial events. You know, there's a whole list on our website, but, you know, next month, March 4th is our official 100th birthday. So we're going to do like virtual tours of the park, and we will have cake and cupcakes for everybody. You know, so if you happen to be in Hot Springs and you want a cupcake, you can come by the visitor center and grab one outside. Then in May, we'll be doing a park-wide bio blitz. You know, that sounds like a strange term, but bio and blitz mushed together. It's just, we'll be using an iNaturalist app and just taking pictures of literally everything you see in the park. You know, if you see a lizard, a leaf, a flower, some grass, plants, birds, right? Anything, you just take a picture with your phone and it creates like an online database so we can see what people are seeing when they're visiting us. And then our park scientists can use that information to learn more about what's in the park. And then in June, you know, true to our roots, we want to have a 1921 block party where we just bring the roaring 20s back. You know, we have jazz music, we have swing dancing, maybe we'll have a gangster lookalike contest. We'll see what happens. But we just want it to be like all of downtown, heaps of fun, you know, just people bringing back that really exciting and happy, thrilling vibe of the 20s. In July, we'll be having a Bark Ranger event. So we see lots of dogs in Hot Springs. We teach dogs how to be very good stewards of their park. And so we're just going to have a very dog-focused day.
Yeah, I've got a dog that will, no, you won't be able to teach him anything. He will be an awful steward of the park. Can you imagine Miller in Hot Springs National Park?
No, don't do that to our history. Yeah.
No. Okay, I have Dennis the Menace in dog form. Okay, so we'll just leave it at that.
That's amazing. But I mean, that is a good point, right? If you feel like your dog is helpless, then maybe just come hang out with other people's dogs.
I'm just going to put him off on the National Park Service, say he's your problem now. Give him a ranger hat.
Excuse me, National Park Service, you've trained my dog.
Right. I didn't know they offered that service, but I'm feeling really good about it now.
Man, I wish we actually did do trainings. It's more, you know, it's more basic tenets of bringing your dog to the park, like bagging your pet's waste, always keep them on a leash, things like that.
Yeah, Miller doesn't believe in leashes. It's against his religion.
He sounds like a feisty being.
For sure.
In August, we'll be celebrating our junior rangers. So the National Park Service has a program where at over 300 sites, you know, children of all ages, they can fill out this activity booklet to learn more about the park. And then in exchange, they get a commemorative badge. And so this year we have a special centennial badge, and we'll be working with other agencies like state parks and the National Forest and even Mid-America Science Museum to put together like a really kid-friendly and fun activity-filled day. So that'll be in August. September, we'll be having a Thermal Springs Festival. You know, so everything about our Thermal Springs, again, lots of activities, really hands-on and interactive for families and people of all ages. In October, we'll be digging into archaeology. So we'll have an archaeology-focused day. You know, given that we have such an extensive human history, our park archaeologist has found a lot of really interesting things. And we also find that most people don't really know what archaeologists do. But because archaeologists help to tell the human story of a place, we thought it would be really fun to have, again, another activity-focused day that brings archaeology to life and helps teach people more about what archaeologists do and how they can, you know, become their own mini archaeologists. I think it'll be really neat. And then in November, we're going to go back to the roots and the inception of the park itself, and we're going to have a park prescription weekend. You know, so it's just going to be like a health-focused weekend. We'll have yoga, guided runs, guided hikes, guided bike rides, and hopefully we'll bring in some of our healthcare workers in and just, you know, talk about health and wellness and how that can be achieved in the national park. In December, that's, you know, still up in the air. You know, I think we definitely want to be a part of the Hot Springs Christmas Parade, should that be happening. We're really hopeful that it will. And otherwise, you know, I think we're just going to sort of close out the year and think about everything we've done and look forward to our next 100 years.
So how about if it's lunchtime? What are we going to have from Wendy's?
You know, I really like Dave's Double for Lunch.
I really like their pub fries.
Yes, pub fries are delicious.
No, dude, the pub fries have a warm beer, cheese sauce, and applewood smoked bacon. Do you know what else they have the lockdown on?
What's that?
Rewards.
Rewards? I'm all about some rewards. Tell me.
You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me you could have gotten breakfast for me with a 2-for-4 deal. You could have gotten breakfast for the entire office with a 2-for-4 deal, spent over $15 and then gotten $3 off and fed us all.
Jerry, it's that time. You're going to have to be an adult. You need to download the Wendy's app yourself.
Ugh. Well, it doesn't seem that difficult, so I guess this is my opportunity to start doing things for myself.
That's exactly what you should do, because with the Wendy's app, you can order online, you can view the menu, or you can just locate the Wendy's nearest you.
But can we have producer Trey pick it up for us?
We could have producer Trey pick it up, or they will actually deliver.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So if you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you. Because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying.
Real quick, if you will give me your top 5 things to do in Hot Springs National Park, just if I was there for the day and I, you know, didn't have a whole lot of time, but what would be my top 5 things that I would have to do in Hot Springs National Park?
Gosh, this is an excellent question and probably the hardest to answer, but I will do my best. I would say definitely, you have to drink the water.
Okay.
I put that at the top of the list solely because, I mean, not only have people been doing it for 100 years, but the water is 4,400 years old. This is the first time this water has seen the sunlight since the pyramids of Egypt were built. And if that doesn't make you feel like a time traveler, I'm not sure what will.
Yeah. Old water. I'm down. I'll drink some old water.
Yeah. I mean, it's warm. It's mineral rich. So definitely drink the water. And then I would say walk around Bathhouse Row and see some of our display springs. You know, check out these old buildings, but like really look at them. You know, look at these details. Look at all of the intention that goes into this architecture. Because I feel like that is just really fantastic. I think if you have the inclination and the time, taking a hike is also an absolute necessity. I think one of the most accessible trails, or at least, you know, one of the trails I recommend the most often is the Peak Trail, because that takes you right from Bathhouse Row to the top of Hot Springs Mountain and basically at the foot of the mountain tower. Mm-hmm. And so from the top of Hot Springs Mountain, you get amazing views. You have the option of like paying a fee going up into the mountain tower, which puts you 200 plus feet even above the top of the mountain. So the view from there is like absolutely incredible. It's stunning. So I feel like both of those are definitely must-dos. If you're not inclined to hiking, then definitely take a scenic drive. We have 2 scenic drives. You can drive to the top of Hot Springs Mountain, or you can drive to the top of West Mountain. And both of them have really just lovely dynamic views. And then maybe finally, definitely checking out at least some of the bathhouses, like going inside them. You know, we have the Lamar Bathhouse Park Store. As we mentioned, the Buckstaff and Quapaw, you can soak in the springs. highly recommend that if you have the chance and inclination to do so. Or, you know, drinking the springs themselves through the beer or root beer at the Superior Bathhouse. I feel like all of these are really unique things that you wouldn't be able to do anywhere else.
That is a very good list. I do want to point out to listeners, if you're not familiar with Hot Springs, Bathhouse Row, or even any of the history involved there, I don't want you to be under the impression that a visit to one of the operational bathhouses is anything like a spa, like what you would think of as a modern spa with, you know, soothing music and low lights and candles and all that stuff. It's true to the time period. It is very, very true to the time period. And a lot of people that I've spoken with, you know, have gone in expecting something totally different, not to say that they weren't pleased with the experience they had, but they just had no idea what they were stepping into. Now, I've gone through that. I've spent a day at Buckstaff and it is super duper cool. And I mean, I came out of it feeling a million times better, but you know, you're not going in there to get facials. And I mean, while they offer all those services, it's just the environment and the equipment and utilities, everything, you know, and there's still the bathhouse attendants. That is so cool. I love that. Like men's attendants, women's attendants. Like it's just, it's so, you do feel like you're stepping back in history. That's what you feel like.
That's definitely true for the Buckstaff.
All right, Ranger Ashley, before we move into our lightning round, if you could give us some contact info. So if somebody wants to plan a visit to Hot Springs National Park, or they just want the more information on the events that you're holding for the centennial, where do they go to find all that?
Honestly, our website is the best place for that. So that's just nps.gov/HOSP. Scroll right there in the middle of the page, you'll see Hot Springs Centennial. And that's basically the gateway to everything. You know, it has our events that are happening every month, but then it also talks about some of the year-long challenges that we're encouraging. You know, so even if you can't get to the park in person, but you live in Arkansas and you want to be a part of, you know, the park centennial, there are ways to do that. So I would say that's the best place is either our website or social media. We're at Hot Springs NPS on both Facebook and Instagram.
And you guys are pretty active too. I know that for sure. What's the actual address of the little visitor center museum that's within the park?
Yeah, that's 369 Central Avenue, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
So listeners, if you are planning a trip to Hot Springs or just want to know more about it, Ranger Ashley has provided you with some great links material to get that stuff that you want to make your trip as awesome as it can be. So we're now going to move into our lightning round. This has absolutely nothing to do with Hot Springs and everything to do with you. We're going to throw out some real quick questions at you, quick answers. It's just kind of our fun wrap up here. So I'll start it off with, what did you want to be when you grew up?
The first thing I wanted to be was an archaeologist.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh gosh, holding my breath forever.
I've never heard that one.
That's the first time we've ever gotten that response.
That's really neat. Okay. Are you a cat person, dog person, or a completely different species person?
Cat and dog.
Last book you read?
Gosh, was it The Vapors? I think it was The Vapors by David Hill.
I'll throw one more at you. If you could plan a dinner party with three people, dead or alive, famous, not famous, doesn't matter, who would it be?
This question always gets me because I'm always changing my mind. I would definitely invite Sylvia Earle. I would also probably invite Rachel Carson. Okay. I'm picking all environmentalists. I feel like I should pick somebody else. Let's see. I feel like I would also really love to sit and have dinner with Neil Armstrong.
I like it. Mm-hmm. She's fascinated with archaeology, the ground, and space exploration.
I like it.
I just feel like they might all have something really unique and epic to contribute to the conversation. Sylvia Earle, she has like all of these records for diving in the ocean. So she's like a huge, you know, ocean explorer. And yeah, Rachel Carson, she's got that like environmentalist earth view. And then yeah, we get space. So keep it well rounded.
I like your answers. Mm-hmm. I surely do. All right. Well, thank you so very much for taking time to visit with us today. Mm-hmm. We were really, really glad to have you and learn some things about the park that we didn't know and to hear about all the events, because we're going to have to put a few of those on our calendar. The 20s jazz age one.
We're going.
Yeah, we got excited about that. We were doing the whole looking at each other like, mark it down, somebody. So we'll navigate to the website and get, you know, those events on our calendar, and maybe we'll run into you there.
That would be so wonderful. I'd love that.
You have a great day, Ashley. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
It's time for that portion of our show we like to call Fast Facts with
Producer Trey.
Today's interview with Ranger Ashley was super duper cool. And we had her on Zoom. And, you know, we've got to do some of our interviews that way because of social distancing and because of actual physical distance to some of our guests. But Hot Springs National Park is within the Ouachitas. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. And Ranger Ashley was really gracious in sharing some stories and giving us the lowdown on all the celebrations and the events that they have planned to celebrate that gigantic 100-year anniversary. So during our interview with Ashley, we didn't really have any questions come up because obviously she's employed there. She's knowledgeable. She knows her stuff for sure. But being the people we are, we had some questions about maybe the darker side of Hot Springs or the seedier history of Hot Springs National Park. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that Ranger Ashley was reluctant to talk about that, but that's not what she's there for. She was there to promote the events and really encourage people to come and visit the park. You know, there's all kinds of specialized paid tours you can take in Hot Springs that kind of take you through like Al Capone and the gangster whole.
The cultural curiosities of the early 20th century.
There you go. There you go. We requested that producer Trey do a little bit of digging and just give us some kind of the highlights of that dark history of Hot Springs National Park. So what did you find for us, Trey?
There is a lot. There's a shocking amount of gangster-related type stuff that happened, and it's all centered around gambling. Of course, I mean, Oaklawn's there, but it was all illegal gambling in the 20s and 30s, and it was all centered at the time around somebody named Boss Flynn. And he owned a bunch of casinos, underground casinos, and brothels as well. And it was getting more and more out of hand, so much so that Boss Flynn had a gang of dudes that went in and destroyed the Palace Casino at one point. So all of this caused the editor of the newspaper, the Hot Springs Daily Hornet, to start writing about the mayor, T.F. Lind, and how he wasn't doing anything about it. He wasn't doing anything to help the situation. He wasn't doing anything to deter it.
Turning a blind eye.
Exactly. So T.F. Lind is walking down the road in Hot Springs and comes across the editor, pulls out a gun, and starts shooting him.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
He injured a few people that were in the line of fire. I mean, he got really, really out of hand. So as the years went on, gambling continued to grow. Of course, along with the spas, it was the most popular thing to do in Hot Springs, and still is, I think, with Oaklawn there. It's still pretty popular. And of course, you hear about like the famous gangsters like Oney Madden and Lucky Luciano and Al Capone, but they went there not only for the gambling, but also for the bootleggers and stuff like that. They struck up deals and stuff like that. So much so that Al Capone actually bought a failed dairy, or it was failing. And he used that as a front to distill his own moonshine. So he was in the moonshine business in Hot Springs.
Okay, well, that is really, really cool, actually. I mean, probably definitely not something that Hot Springs National Park, you know, wants to promote, but it is part of their history. You can't separate Hot Springs and Hot Springs National Park.
Yeah, there's, I mean, they literally reside within themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Central Avenue goes right down the middle of it, and you've got Bathhouse Row on one side, and then all the shops on the other side, and all you do is cross the street, and you're in the national park. So, you know, there's no way to really separate those things. But Trey mentioned that he found so much information that we could literally do a spinoff episode just talking about Hot Springs stories. So listeners, if that's something you might be interested in, reach out to us. Let us know. We're really considering, you know, some formats for some special bonus shows, and we definitely want your feedback. So as always, thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles, brought to you by Dawn's Easy Pay and Dawn's Home Store. You can find us along with other great shows at theouachitapodcast.com. You can contact us by email at theouachitapodcast@gmail.com, and make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And if you're enjoying the show and you're listening on your favorite podcast streaming platform, please give our show a rating. It helps us show up in the search a lot better. Until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out. Thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles.